I believe that the universe is abundant, that there's enough of everything for everyone. Real successful people not only offer everything that they have to help other people, but they learn to ask for help. I could take 10 meetings in a day, and even though I may only close 3 of them, other people were taking 3 and closing 1, which is a higher percentage. But in the end, in a week, I would close, because I was working 7 days a week, 21 deals in a week, and they would close 5. The other thing that I have is an unconscious competency that's energetic. I attract money. I have to be able to guarantee you that I'm a profit center. Meaning any penny you give me, I'm going to give you an exponential result. I call it the 120 rule.
Yeah.
Give you $100 of value, you give me 20 back. Can you see any reason you won't want to move forward? The only reason I wanted to be rich was to buy my mom a house and a car, and I'd lost it.
Hey guys, and welcome back to the I Love Success podcast. Our mission is to help 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams. I certainly can't do it myself, but I know we can together. Help me by being the best version of yourself and truly do something with your life. This week's guest is a man that started with nothing and yet became a millionaire just 9 months out of law school and a multimillionaire by the age of 32. But then he went broke, but then he made it all back again. And now he is a successful serial entrepreneur and philanthropist who, through hardship, was forced to codify the rules of success. To that end, everything that he and his business partner, Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon, take on has a charitable component, and this rule has only accelerated their business growth. His name is David Meltzer, and he makes a lot of money, helps a lot of people, and has a lot of fun. Simply put, he elevates others to elevate himself. So please help me in welcoming the man that both Forbes and Entrepreneur named as one of the top keynote speakers on the planet, Verity Magazine Sports Humanitarian of the Year, David Meltzer. Wow.
You're telling me, you know, my other brother's a doctor, so my mom's still proud.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, we're going to talk more about that. It seems like your family is very driven.
Yeah, driven by my mom. I grew up with a mom who's a teacher, and since we didn't have much, she subscribed to the philosophy that she was going to empower her children to be successful through education. Which made me the black sheep of the family because education was secondary to sports. Yeah. I thought I'd be a professional athlete, specifically a football player. And but needless to say, she was also one of the, and still is, I apologize, she's still here, one of the most enlightened people because she lived her entire life of service, not just to her children, which catapulted all of us to great successful lives, but also to all the children that she taught for 47 years as a second grade teacher and elementary school teacher, which to me still one of the proudest moments is when, you know, a 50-year-old man comes up to me in tears and is like, "Ah, are you Dave Meltzer?" And I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, they watched my videos, they saw my speech, they read my book, you know, they listened to my podcast, they're gonna tell me how I've changed their life. And they said, "Your mom." Right, your mom changed my life. She was the best teacher I ever had. And I'm thinking, you knew her when you were 9. You
don't care. Yeah, I know. I mean, teachers are, I think, being a teacher is the most important thing in life, right? And that's kind of what you're doing now. You're teaching and empowering other people. And knowledge is a waste if we don't share it, I believe. And there's a lot of people, they don't want to share their knowledge. But if we look at the super successful people, I mean, I was an athlete for many years. I was a world medalist in karate. And I met some of the best guys on the planet, and they always wanted to share.
Yeah.
Maybe not their tactics in that moment. But I mean, they still shared so much that they didn't have to.
Yeah, I believe that the universe is abundant, that there's enough of everything for everyone, and that energy, when we put faith into scarcity, into not enough, or even just enough, when we put our faith there, we're going to end up with not enough or just enough. Yeah. When we live in a world of more than enough, and one of the charities that I love and work with is St. Jude. They do childhood cancer. Yeah. And the reason I love St. Jude is there's so much money in medicine and research, and especially cancer research, that the minute they have any type of research, unlike all the other hospitals that hold on to it because they want to have the cure to cancer, they want to have the medication to sell to everyone for thousands of dollars, they post it up onto the internet, all their findings immediately, so that the world, because their goal isn't to make money to cure cancer. Their goal is to cure cancer however it can. So they give all the pharmaceutical companies, they give all the hospitals around the world, instantly posting up all the information on how to cure cancer. And so that's my goal in life as well, is I have these unlimited beliefs. I have unlimited abundance. In fact, I want to tell you about your goal, 10 million people in 10 years that you want to help, right? I think you're limiting yourself. You know, I really do. I think, why not more? So I would put a little bit of a change into your mission of at least.
At least. Oh, right? I love that. That's so awesome.
Just one little word can change your philosophy, because 10 million people is just enough. Yeah. At least 10 million people is more than enough.
That's awesome. I love that, because the reason why I had my goal before was to help as many people as possible. And then I met with Mark DeWine, the Navy SEAL, and he said, my goal is 10 million people. You should have that because it's a good metric. And I said, it might be true. But now I'm going to add to my mission at least 10 million people. I love that. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, I put minimums and at least on everything. So, you know, I believe in consistent behavior creates exponential results. So if you do at least 5 minutes or at least an hour, I do at least 20 minutes of meditation, at least an hour towards my health. I change those little words are so important. In fact, if you look in historically into the energy of words, Sanskrit was so powerful, because it carried energy. It wasn't just words. And I think we've lost that over the years, how much energy the words that we say, what we think, what our actions are, what we believe, and the limiting beliefs that related back to what you think, say, and do. And then finally, your unconscious competency, what you're born with genetically and also energetically. And if we can put that aggregate together, our conscious, subconscious, and unconscious, true energy, beliefs, and genetics, we can achieve anything that we perceive.
No, I love that. And I mean, growing up, you wanted to make all this money. Did you, like, because I know you went to law school, but the thought process before, did you know, like, you wanted to be a professional football player? How did that pan out? And, like, why did you decide to go to law school?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of my listeners and followers know the story, but I love to share it. I wanted to be a football player, and nobody thought I could do it. I come from a long lineage of academic people, intellectual people, that education was the core of how you became successful. Unfortunately for my family, I was the best athlete of all my family. And you could look at me, that's not impressive. I still to this day always say I'm one of the most average college athletes of all time, but it's also one of the most significant parts of my life. But I went to college and I got a scholarship to go to college. I played football in college. And it was fun because my very first game, I really believed my freshman year that I still was going to be a professional football player. And I fly down the field as a kickoff bullet on the end, and I go to tackle this guy, and he runs me over. Right when I hit him, I thought, yes! Next thing I know, I'm flying backwards, and he runs me over. That running back is a friend of mine now. His name's Christian Okoye. He was the AFC running back of the year the next year. But at that time, I literally remember lying on my back going, doctor, lawyer, or failure, because that's all I heard my entire life. Doctor, lawyer, or failure. And it took a lot of courage, although I never realized my dream of being an NFL player. This is what the success ended up to be when I learned it wasn't about money. It was about, you know, consistently every day, persistently, without quit, enjoying the pursuit of my potential. And still today, I've achieved a lot, right? You could read a bio of me for 20 minutes, going down accolades, awards, accomplishments, things that I do. But my biggest accomplishment to this day is still, to me, the fact that I persevered and played college football. Like, I self-admittedly am an average college football player, but because it was so close to my potential, right? Which is really important, because my potential doesn't mean I'm Deion Sanders, right? Deion Sanders could never work and be better than me. But what I learned through that process is, if I could enjoy the pursuit of my potential, if I could enjoy the pursuit of everything that I did, which is why I wake up at 4 o'clock, which is why I meditate, which is why I work out, which is why I'm a good dad and a good father and a good brother and all the everything I do, when it's in my mind, like helping 10 million people, I want to be at least 10 million people, because I want to pursue the potential of how many people can I actually help and empower lives for. My goal in life is similar to yours. Mine is to empower others to be happy. That's my life's mission.
It's a beautiful mission. And I'm curious because I met with Nick Santonastasso. Maybe you know him.
Yeah. I know him. I mentor with Nick. He's a great friend of mine.
He's an amazing guy. And as you know, he was born with one arm, and he wrestled. Like, he wrestled people with two legs and two arms, and he basically lost all his matches.
Yeah.
And people used to applaud him just because he was competing. He was so pissed off.
Yeah.
You should applaud because I'm doing something good. And he won some matches. That was, like, amazing. And, like, it just reminded me of that. Like, how do, like, the people that are actually pursuing things when you don't get the success that you want and still pursuing it, you know? What goes on in a mind? Can we just talk about that a little bit? Because it's so easy to look at the best NFL players or the Michael Jordans of every sport. And we always do. But what about the people that have the same mindset but maybe not the same physical abilities? How do they think?
Yeah, I'll use Rudy as an example. They did a movie, David Anspaugh and Angelo Pizzo, called Rudy, the people who did the movie Hoosiers.
Yeah.
And Rudy's potential, he wanted to play at Notre Dame. He walked on at Notre Dame. They ended up carrying him off the field. He was a below average college football player.
Yeah.
But he lives so close to his potential, where, you know, what I find that's special is, it's one thing to be Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant or LeBron James, where you're born with every gift in the world and you have a Rudy attitude.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think that's almost more special, LeBron James, because from the time he started playing, everyone, you know, said you were amazing, but still to have the drive, like Nick and Rudy, myself, I actually think that it's, you know, easier for me, because it's easy when no one expects you to be good, right? When they do applaud you just for showing up. Oh my God, he's so small. He made the team. Oh, you know, this is the way my family used to talk about me. Oh my gosh, I can't believe he's going to college. He's actually playing in college, going, you know, to be on the team. But to have that drive, you know, to me, to carry over, but where the opposite holds true for people like Nick, Rudy, and I, is how to stay driven when you know your best is not good enough. So these are the two nuances of pursuing your potential. There's the people who are born with everything, but because most people that are born with all that talent don't make it, because they don't have the internal drive without people challenging them, which is why most of them had something happen, like Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team, right? Tom Brady was drafted late round and nobody wanted, right? There's something that put the Rudy, the Nick, the Meltzer chip on your shoulder, and you were born with all this talent.
Yeah.
But there's the other side of it. Yeah. What do you do when you know that you can line up every single time and there's someone better that may not even be trying?
Yeah. So let's talk about sales, because I've been doing sales since I was a kid and I love it too. So all these kids out there, they're in real estate, they're selling mattresses, they're selling tennis shoes or whatever they're selling. What do they need to do or know to double their sale the next year?
Two things. One, people buy on emotion for logical reasons. People buy on emotion for logical reasons. All you need to do is connect to someone emotionally. So how do we do that? Find out what they're doing today and then ask them what they like about it and what they don't like about it. When we talk about what we like and what we don't like, that's emotional. Right? And if we can connect on an emotional level, then we can give the reasons, the impacts, and capability with a quantitative analysis of, can you see any reason you won't want to move forward? Because if you invest this, you're going to make more money. That's the logical. I use it in my book called the Penn Value Index, meaning if you can guarantee someone's going to make more money than it costs, there's no way they won't do it. They will find, beg, borrow, and steal for that money. The second thing is to understand five to thrive, the emotional spectrum of how people buy. They buy in five steps. Number one, you need to stimulate interest. That has nothing to do with anything about your product. It could be as close to the farthest from the truth, that very line, but you want to say something that's going to stimulate their interest. Next step, have the collateral material, the proof to transition interest. Then connect emotionally to share a vision. So we share a vision on emotion with logical reasons, impacts, and capability with a quantitative analysis. That gives you a verbal connection, a shared vision. Yeah. Now, most people think when they get a verbal yes, that they're 80% of the way there. I disagree, you're 20% of the way there. 80% of the way there is the managing and developing of the vision, step four. You need to be able to manage and develop the vision. Even after you have a shared vision, you need to manage and develop it, make sure you get the paperwork. And in fact, getting paid as a salesperson, I joke around and say 20% is selling, 80% is collecting. Yeah. And then finally, if you manage and develop a vision correctly in a sale, then your business thrives. This is what happened with my coaching business. I didn't set out to coach people to make money. I set out to help charity. My first group of guys who wanted me to coach them, business coach them, I said, donate $100 to charity every month. I'll coach you guys as a group and we'll work from here. Well, what happened was I changed their lives. Some of them make seven figures. And they went and told that you got to have Dave coach. And then more people said, you got to have Dave. And then I became a top 100 business coach with Marshall Goldsmith. And now thousands of people want me to business coach them. Yeah. And now I built more coaches below me, but it's all thriving because I managed and developed a vision, basically guaranteeing that I'm a profit center. Almost everything I do, I have to be able to have two things involved. One, charitable component. It has to come through me for the benefit of others. And then two, I have to be able to guarantee you that I'm a profit center. Meaning any penny you give me, I'm going to give you an exponential result. I call it the 120 rule. Yeah. Give you $100 of value, you give me 20 back. Can you see any reason you won't want to move forward?
Yeah. Now that's awesome. And I mean, what I'm thinking now is like there are people watching and listening to this that are very successful in what they do, but they might think about this right now that, oh, shit, I've been very ego-driven. Like, how do we get out of that without going bankrupt, without losing everything? You know, what lessons can we learn from ourselves before it's never too late, but before it goes overboard, you know?
Here's the lesson that I learned. It's going to sound a little woo-woo or spiritual. Everything vibrates. This is what changed my life. The earth vibrates the slowest, then plants, animals, humans, sound, light, and then thought. And the thought which vibrates the fastest is the truth. And the only thing that we can be aware of is that which vibrates equal to or less than us. So if we're not pursuing our truth, if we're not elevating our vibration, then we can't be aware of things. We don't even know they exist. So we need to elevate that. How? We need to stay within a direct trajectory of our truth or our potential. What gets in the way of that trajectory? What puts us off? Our ego. Our ego is what creates that void. Our ego, the need to be right, offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, guilty, all these different things of the ego. So we need to raise our awareness of when we are in ego and then go back to center. So whether it's breathing, meditation, some sort of clarity, balance, or focus that brings us new confidence, all we have to do is like a car on top of the hill that's about to come down. Just take the one finger and push it back up into a balanced state of mind, into a clear mindset, into a peaceful mindset. The easiest part about dealing with ego without losing everything, what did I do? I allowed my ego car to go downhill and build all this momentum. And so when I tried to stop it, it ran me over. Yeah. That's bankruptcy. Yeah. You don't have to do that. I simply, every day, I get better and better. How quickly can I go back to peace? How quickly can I go back to center? That's why I meditate every morning when I wake up, because I want to know my baseline of peace. So if anything happens that takes me out of that feeling, yeah, I try as quickly as I can to go back to that feeling before I react. Before I over overreact, you know, and it happens all the time. Now, there's different situations. I'm still on this journey. I'm still on the wheel, the potter's wheel. I'm still being molded into my better self. So I always say, look, I am a hypocrite like everyone else. I know these things work. I'm better than I was. I don't know what percentage it is better or how much more I have to go, but I have a lot to go. And anyone, you know, that has any children can tell you that I'm constantly tested how quickly I can go back to center. Yeah.
I love this because I'm a martial artist, so I'm very spiritual in meditation and all of those things. But how do we teach this to like a hardcore business person that's like, oh, this sounds interesting, but it's not for me. Like, how do we teach them?
Well, I think that's what the universe has put me here for, because there was nobody more hardcore business person, money driven. I mean, I was a sports agent of the leading sports agency in the world, right? I went to law school. I was money mogul. I was into real estate and stock market and, you know, a sales guy and, you know, overselling, back end selling, manipulating salesperson. I was all about scarcity and, you know, in fact, when I learned what I just taught about vibration, yeah. I literally was on a plane and sat next to a medical doctor who was a quantum healer and a theta meditation expert. And she is the one that taught me this. She went through this diatribe with me, and her first thing that she said to me as I'm sitting in first class with my ego and arrogance on me, she said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" Like, she goes, "Oh, you're so full of light, but you're blocking it." And I roll my eyes. I'm like, "Oh God, what is she talking about?" And then she goes, "Do you meditate?" And I looked at her and I literally told her this. "Are you kidding me? Meditate? Who has time for meditation? I come from nothing. I'm a multimillionaire. I own a Ferrari, a Porsche, a huge home in Rancho Santa Fe. What the heck do I need meditation for?" Sound familiar? Does sound like the person out there that needs to learn this? Although, as I was talking to your producer, who gets to see more and more successful people than most people, I talk to my editors, producers, and publicists that get to meet more and more famous, successful, highly actualizing people, they all have certain habits. And guess what? The habits that we're talking about today, meditation, mindset, positive attitude, gratitude, empathy, accountability, and effective communication, all these different things that we're talking about today is a constant of every happy, successful person. And when I say happy, that comes first, because I think happiness is the superset of success.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I just have a couple of more questions. Then I know you guys have to head out. So you talk about studying your calendar. Can you just say, what does that mean? Because I want to be more like time efficient. Yeah. But still have time to enjoy, you know?
So the basis of efficiency, effectiveness, and statistical success for me is based off of studying my calendar. I don't just look at my calendar. I have a process of studying it. I pay attention to it, which I know allows me to harness the power of the field of intention. Yeah. So if I'm going to intend something during the day, and my intent is to consistently, persistently pursue my potential, yeah, I have to pay attention. I have to raise my awareness. So I study not only what I'm going to do in person, like this interview, but on the phone, like the 3 coaching calls that I did on the way up here, and my email, like the 27 emails that I did on the way up here as well, but also media, radio, print, TV. And I'm going to focus in on what value can I bring, and 2, do or how can I get someone to help me? So, you know, here I'm thinking, okay, do you know anyone that can help me help at least 10 million people in the next 10 years? But moreover, beyond studying what I'm doing during the day in person, on the phone, via email, and social media or media, I look at the white space in my calendar. And sometimes I have more empty spaces than others. Today's, I don't have as much. Yeah. But I look to tell myself, okay, what am I going to do in person, on the phone, via email or media during the white? Am I going to check my Instagram? Am I going to check my LinkedIn? Am I going to go ahead and email somebody? Am I going to go call my mom for the minimum of 1 minute? Am I going to call, like, for example, right after this? I know that I'm going to call my son because I give him 30 minutes minimum a day. I give my wife 30 minutes minimum a day. I give my 3 teenage daughters minimum of 2 minutes a day, because that's the most they'll give me. But I do it every day. And if you study your calendar or consistently do things every day, we haven't spoken about this, and it's a good place to kind of end it on too, is the zero effect. You mentioned it earlier. Yeah. minutes turn into hours, hours turn into days, days turn into weeks, weeks turn into months, months turn into years. With the most important things in our lives, that occurs because of the zero effect. And if you're not a student of your calendar, you can't be consistent. If you're consistent, like with meditation, 2 minutes of meditation a day is worth more than an hour on a weekend. Yeah. Well, that holds true with every single thing you want to do. If you can be consistent about spending 2 minutes a day with your daughters, it's worth more than an hour on the weekend. If you're consistently, and what happens is we zero it out, and the more that we zero it out by missing days, pretty soon hours turn to days, days turn to weeks, weeks turn to months, months turn into years. Yeah. And pretty soon we're like, oh my gosh, I'm on my deathbed, and I am the richest man in the cemetery. Completely empty, completely purposeless, passionless, and unhappy. Instead of allowing everything to come through you, being a student of your calendar, raising your attention and awareness to what you want, harnessing and manifesting the power in the field of intention to allow things to come through you for the benefit of others. And as you lie there with nothing in your pockets, you are happy when it's all said and done. And your legacy of helping over 10 million people in 10 years is extraordinary, and that will live on forever.
That's powerful, man. I knew that this was going to be good, but I'm blown away, David. Thank you so much. Last question that I want to ask you, yeah, something that I ask all my guests. That is, we're all about sharing tools and ideas, but we want them to take action because I love all the people that are taking the time to listen to us now. So if they can do one thing to get closer to what they want to do in their life, what's the first step that they can do right now when they're done listening?
You know, what I would do is live your life with a do it now attitude. So whatever occurs in your life, ask yourself, can I do it now? Yeah. And if you can do it now, you're going to save at least half as much time, right? It's going to take you half as much time because when you don't do things now, and when you do it now, think about whatever you're doing in this perspective. Be kind to my future self. I'm doing a good deed. If you can simply tell yourself every day, I'm going to be kind to my future self. I'm going to pick up that trash. I'm going to open the door. I'm going to smile at someone. I'm going to get to do this, not got to do this. Everything stems from the idea, be kind to your future self and do good deeds. Your life will change, and do it now. Don't wait. Don't procrastinate. Do it now. Do the good deeds now. Be kind to your future self now. I really appreciate you having me on. I send my book out and pay for shipping for it for everyone. I'm at David Meltzer. You can find me, David Meltzer, on LinkedIn. Please reach out to me. I'm of service. I do answer everything myself, and I appreciate the time to assist you in helping at least 10 million people in the next 10 years.
Thank you, David. And if there's anything we can do for you, please let us know. We're super grateful to have you here, that you took the time. And that we did is, I love that we did it this early, because every time I do something really early, I think about my mission and say, not many people would do this at this time. And it gives me courage to do more of these things. So
that's the way I felt driving up there. Yeah. I got out of the car going, man, I've already done more than most people do in a day. Now I feel like 2 days. Yeah. So this is great. Thank
you. Awesome, David. Thank you. And thank you everybody that watched and listened to this. You mean the world to us. We want you to succeed. So reach out to @DavidMeltzer and connect with him and help him on his mission. And also, if you want me to help you on your mission, go to ilovesuccess.co. I'll give you a couple of free chapters of my book. There's so many conversations there and tools to help you. And we give this to you because we want you to do something with your life. So go out and do that right now. And also, if you like this episode, share it with someone, because that's how we grow. That's how we can help more people. And I said it in the beginning, I can't do it myself. David can't do it himself, but together we can do so much. So thank you so much, and talk soon. Bye-bye.